Good morning, New Life Church. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for welcoming me into your home. It is such a joy and honor to be able to study God's Word with you and talk about applying this Word to our lives. And joy is one of the themes we're talking about today. So I just wanted to say that up front, what an honor and joy it is to be with you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to Psalm 134. Psalm 134 is the last of these songs of ascent. We've been doing this sermon series called On the Road, and we're looking at these songs of ascent, and they're songs that were sung by pilgrims that would travel to Jerusalem to worship. They were going for a festival or going to a feast. And this group of 15 psalms, this dog-eared hymn book, they would bring out and they would sing it typically in order, starting with Psalm 120 and ending here with Psalm 134. So these songs have, we've been looking at them and applying them to our lives, how to live our lives on the road with God, on our own pilgrimage with God. And we started in 120 with repentance. And I don't know if you remember way back when we looked at Psalm 120. It starts out, and the psalmist says, "In my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me." And then he says in verse 5, "What misery that I have stayed in Meshech, and that I have lived among the tents of Kedar." And if you remember our discussion of that, we talked about the beginning of a journey. Every journey starts with that first step. If you want to get to one place, you have to leave another. If you want to get to Jerusalem, in this psalm, in Psalm 120, you have to leave Meshech and Kedar. If you want to get to heaven, it begins with us taking the first step of repentance. Every journey with God begins with repentance. And then, of course, we sang throughout these discussions, we sang about God's protection, perseverance. We've talked about joy and work and freedom, overcoming difficulties, getting out of the pit, moving forward with God, humility. Last week, we sang about how good and pleasant it is when we walk together in cooperation and community and fellowship. And so, it brings us to the last one, Psalm 134, and let's read it together. It's a song of ascents. "Now bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. Lift up your hands in the holy place and bless the Lord. May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." So this is the last one. They're singing this as they arrive through the gates of Jerusalem. It's the end. It's the culmination. The pilgrims have had a long, difficult journey. And so what happens when we finally arrive? What happens at the end of faith? Will we discover that the journey and all of the hardships we faced on that journey have been worth it? Or will we be disappointed? According to Psalm 134, the controlling thought of this psalm is the idea of blessing or praise. The journey begins with repentance. It ends with praise. Three times the psalmist uses that word bless in this song. And there's two Hebrew words in the Old Testament for that word bless or blessing. One describes a sense of just an overall sense of well-being when life is going well, when things are going right. That's the word the psalmist used in Psalm 1 when he says, "How happy or how blessed is the one who does not walk in the advice of the wicked or stand in the pathway of the sinners or sit in the company of mockers." So it almost, that word for blessing almost always describes people. The other Hebrew word for blessing, barakah, describes what God does, God's action. And that's the word used in verse 3. "May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." And so it describes what God does for us. And you may remember from Psalm 123 when he was talking about the same thing. God is a stooping God. He stoops to us. He gets down on his knees. He gets among us. He shares himself with us. He's not far off. He doesn't communicate to us by a diplomatic envoy. He is with us. He's right next to us and is generously giving of himself. That's the picture of God's blessings on us. And we see it most vividly, of course, in the New Testament when God gets into our skin. As the Apostle Paul reminds us that Jesus emptied himself in order to share himself with us. There's a book entitled that I think expresses this idea of blessing very well. The title of the book is The God Who Stands, Stoops, and Stays. And I think that's a great description of God ministering to us in our lives, blessing us in life. He stands, he is solid, he is dependable, he never changes. He stoops, he kneels to our level. He meets us where we are. He doesn't make us get clean before we can come to him. He comes to us as we are. And then, of course, he stays. He sticks with us through thick and thin. Through the long, difficult journey that we're on, God always sticks with us. And because God blesses us, we in turn bless him. Verse 1, now bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. We return in kind what we've received. The blessed bless back. But here the Hebrew idea, the connotation of the word is more along the lines of praise or gratitude. That's why for those blessings that we've received, and that's why some of the versions use that word praise. The NIV says, praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who minister by night in the house of the Lord. And so the folks that are singing this song as they make this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, they had been on the road, literally on the road, traveling to the holy city. And some had traveled for days, some had traveled for weeks, some maybe even for months. And so now they're at the end. And what would happen? How would they feel? What would they do? Well, the psalmist tells them what to do. Look at verse 1 again. Now bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. The psalmist gives what one commentator I was studying this week describes as an invitational command. An invitational command. In one sense, it's an invitation. He says, come, let us praise God together. We've made it. Let's praise God together. Was the journey difficult? Well, all those challenges are behind you now. Did you fight with your spouse along the way? Well, that's okay. You're here now. Are you ashamed of some of the feelings you had on the journey or the fears or the grumbling or the many times you wanted to quit? Well, don't worry about that. Put that all behind you. You are here now. You made it. Let's praise the Lord together. It's an invitation. But there's another sense in which when he says, now bless the Lord, it is a command. The psalmist says, that's why you made the trip. That's why you left to come to Jerusalem to praise the Lord. You came to worship, so do it. You didn't come here to sightsee. You didn't come here to be entertained. You didn't come here to socialize. You didn't come to go to the marketplace. You didn't come here to make business connections. You came to praise the Lord. You're here because God blessed you, so bless God. So we're invited to praise the Lord. We are commanded to praise him as well. And I know some people will say, hey, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like it today. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. I can't praise God when I don't feel like praising God. That would be dishonest. And I appreciate that sentiment. But I think we Americans spend way too much time worrying about our feelings. Thomas Sowell, one of my favorite authors, said, the problem isn't that Johnny can't read. The problem isn't that Johnny can't think. The problem is that Johnny doesn't know what thinking is. He confuses it with feeling. And the Bible's answer is very similar. The Bible says, or the author of this psalm says, it doesn't matter how you feel. Lift up your hands. Now bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. Lift up your hands in the holy place. You may not be able to command your heart. You may not be able to command your emotions, but you can command your arms. Lift up your arms in blessing to God. And maybe your heart will get the message and engage. Maybe your soul will get the message and quiet before the Lord. We're very psychosomatic, humans are. Our spirit and our bodies are closely tied together. God created us so that our spirit usually leads the way. But sometimes, when we're in a bad place spiritually or emotionally, sometimes the body has to lead the way. And so the psalmist says, come into God's house, whether you feel like it or not, and raise your hands in praise. Too many times to count have I come to church, and I probably shouldn't confess this as a pastor, but I've come to church with my heart unprepared to worship. And I'm not honestly really all that interested in entering into the throne room of God at that moment because of whatever's going on in my life. But when I don't feel like praising, and I make a willful decision to lift my hands as we sing, almost always, not always, but almost always, that overrides my feelings. And two songs in, and I'm good to go. And I feel like worshiping. When I don't feel like bowing my will to God's, and I make a willful decision to kneel at the altar, works every time. The psalm probably originally was addressed to the Levites or the priests that were leading worship at the temple. If you look at the end of verse 1, when he says, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. And so during festivals, during feast weeks, these priests, these Levites, would work 24-hour shifts around the clock to make sure that someone was always there at the temple conducting and leading worship all night long. And so the danger, of course, in the wee hours of the morning is that worship becomes lethargic, half-hearted, and people to say, well, what does it matter? It's 3 a.m. The psalmist says it matters. Your feelings might be flat, but you can control your muscles. No excuses. Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the Lord's house at night. And if you don't feel like it, raise your hand and do it anyway. One of the themes that we've seen throughout all of these songs of ascent, one of the things that keeps coming up is this idea of joy, of happiness, God's blessing on us along the journey, not just at the place of arrival, but as we journey to that place, there is joy and happiness and blessing. Part of the problem that many of us have when we started our own journey with the Lord, we started with some misinformation. Someone told us that if you just repent and begin this journey with God, all of our problems would disappear. And then, of course, that's not true. And when it didn't happen, we become disillusioned. And some of us just drop out of the race. We're dealing with the thing right now. Barna Research has said that during this coronavirus epidemic, one third of the church has just disappeared. We don't know where they are. And so we see that a lot when we face trials and tribulations, when we're unprepared for them. Sometimes we begin the journey and people tell us that religion is a real serious business. God takes it very seriously, these rules that we need to follow. And so we have to take God and his word very seriously. And we need to take ourselves very seriously as well. And I think you can find those two elements in the church a lot. But fortunately, you don't find that in the Bible. Well, you find describing our relationship with the Lord or walking with the Lord, what you find is a description of blessing and happiness and joy. Go to Luke chapter 15 sometime this week. Jesus was sharing about the kingdom of heaven with his disciples, and he gave them three stories, three parables that described it. And they're all parables about lost things. And so in the first parable, there's a lady who loses a coin, and she searches for it, she finds it, and she rejoices. The second parable was a shepherd who had 100 sheep. He loses one. He leaves the 99 and goes to find the others. And when he finds the one, and when he does find it, he brings all of his friends together and they all rejoice together. And then the third one, the one that we're most familiar with, the prodigal son, is a father who lost a son. And when the boy finally returned, they rejoiced. And the theme running through those parables Jesus tells about heaven isn't relief. It isn't surprise that they made a discovery or found something. It isn't self-satisfaction in a successful search. The theme is joy. And that's what Jesus said in Luke 15:7. He said, "I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need to repent." So what is at the end of the road and what we can experience on the road is joy, is God's blessing. But it doesn't start in heaven, it starts now. Catherine of Siena said, "All the way to heaven is heaven." I love that saying. So if you want God's blessing in your life, the psalmist will tell you, "Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord." The first question of the shorter Westminster Catechism asks several questions and responds to it in theological responses. But the first question is, what is the chief end of man? What's the chief end of man? What's our purpose? Why did God create us? Why are we here? What's the main thing about us? Or, as we've been asking in this sermon series, where are we going? And what will we do when we get there? So the Westminster's answer to that question of what is the chief end of man, their answer is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. To glorify God and enjoy him forever. Glorify and enjoy. Now obviously there are other things involved in our journey. And we've been discussing them through these songs of ascent. But it is vitally important, I think, that you and I understand the main thing. The main thing. The main thing is not working for God. The main thing is not suffering for God. The main thing is not even witnessing for God. The main thing is not keeping the Ten Commandments. It's not keeping the Golden Rule. The chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Or as Psalm 134 would say, bless God. So we come to the last verse there. Verse 3 is what we call a benediction. Benediction usually is like one of the final prayers in church. The word literally means a spoken blessing. And so I think it's appropriate that this psalm, which is talking about blessing, God's blessing, that it ends with a benediction. So look at verse 3 again with me. It says, "May the Lord, maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion." So I like today, as we close our sermon this morning, I would like to speak a benediction over you. I would like to speak a blessing over you. Actually, two blessings that I want to speak over you. The first one is written by a man named John Claypool. And then the second one, well, you'll notice that one when we get to it. You're familiar with it. Okay, so just get in an attitude where maybe lift your hands in the holy place. And just receive this spoken benediction, this blessing over you, okay? "Depart now in the fellowship of God the Father. And as you go, remember, in the goodness of God, you were born into this world. By the grace of God, you have been kept all day long, even until this hour. And by the love of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus. You are being redeemed. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Father, we come to you blessing you this morning. Grateful for the many blessings that we've received in our lives. And so we, in turn, come into your house. We're in our own living room or wherever we are at this moment. We come to you and bless you. We are grateful for all that you've done for us. And we are grateful that we can glorify you in life and enjoy you forever. And I'm praying, Lord, that as we go throughout this week, we would have a sense of enjoying you. And Lord, help us be people of praise. Help us get over the challenges we face sometimes when it's difficult to worship. Just that we would just raise our hands and push through so that we might bless you and give you praise. Father, I ask for your blessings on my friends and family, and that you'd meet every one of their needs this week according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you'd bring us all back together again safely and quickly. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Miss you all. Love you very much. Hope to see you soon. God bless you.